Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 5 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by me, Jason Tantra, and my beautiful husband, Ingo Tantra. And today we are talking about chemsex, we're talking about high and horny, and we're talking about alternatives where Tantra can offer you many of the things that people are looking for in chemsex. Hello there, my sweet, beloved husband.
Hey, good morning, my darling.
Here we are.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. Normally I ask you that question, but you got there asking me first. We are looking out on this beautiful sea, on this beautiful island, recording episode 6 of this beautiful podcast.
We have been on Tantra Island for almost like 2 months, haven't we?
Which is Koh Phangan in Thailand.
Yes.
We've been working very hard though, haven't we?
Oh yeah, we have. But it's super inspiring. It's because,
So we've been working very hard. We're now on episode 6. And today what we're going to talk about is the topic of chemsex and high and horny. And you might ask yourself, well, you know, why would we want to talk about that in relationship to Tantra, in relationship to spirituality? And I would say over our years of teaching, I don't know what you think, Ingo, but over our years of teaching, we've received many men that have a history of what they would call chemsex and issues related to that. And having, you know, like a decade, 2 decades of using different substances in sex, what they're finding is that there's still a dissatisfaction. And also for me, never provided the answers for the true issues that are kind of underlying the need for chemsex. And just before I pass over to you, Ingo, I just wanted to also say, you know, as a kind of warning in this podcast, that, you know, both Ingo and I have absolutely no judgments of people's lifestyle choices or things that they're doing. Quite frankly, it's none of our business. But what we are here to do is to help show you through these podcasts how the practice of Tantra as a spiritual practice can transform your life into joyful, blissful, happy, fulfilled, peaceful joy. And, you know, for me, in a men who loves men community, chemsex is a huge issue for large numbers of people. And so we're offering this podcast in the spirit of that, in the spirit of being able to provide some answers or some different ideas to this issue. And I'm not saying that chemsex is an issue for everybody, but I think if you're listening to this podcast, then actually you may be interested in it as an issue, or you may feel that it's an issue. But also, again, being very careful with our language, appreciating that it's not an issue for everybody. And if it's not an issue for you, then maybe skip this podcast and move on. Equally, there may be some incredibly useful ideas in here, and actually that maybe just don't relate to chemsex themselves.
You know, when we prepared this episode, for me it's a little bit difficult to talk about this topic.
Why is that?
Very, very simply because, you know, if we define chemsex as, let's say, sex combined with a very narrow range of substances, mainly, you know, methamphetamine, crystal meth, and a few related substances.
Isn't crystal meth called Tina?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really that slightly narrow kind of definition. We are not talking about sex, you know, on alcohol or on psychedelics or things like that. So, but that kind of narrow definition.
Yes.
And I've got to start by saying that I have no experiences, you know, I've no experience with this kind of drugs. I've never been interested in this kind of drug. However, when we, you know, you probably remember when we started up teaching Tantra, and especially during the years, we've just had so many people who came to us and said, I'm into this.
Yes.
How can Tantra give me what I'm looking for?
And for those people, I would say that the practice of Tantra has been utterly revolutionary for them.
Well, I wanted to go into that a little bit, if you allow me. So because then I was like, okay, I need to educate myself a little bit, and I need to, you know, some of these people have become long-term students, good friends, and talking to them, I found it, a few really, really fascinating things came out for me that I myself learned about chemsex. And this is going to sound a little bit provocative.
Yes.
I was like, there are so many overlaps with Tantra. There's so many overlaps with Tantra. So, for example.
Yes.
When you talk to people, why are you engaging in chemsex?
Yes.
Even when you look at these, you know, chemsex websites that summarize all of those studies, shall I just read this out for you? This is really, really fascinating.
Yes, do it.
So,
where's it coming from? Where are you getting that from?
This is from an Irish. It's men2men.ie or something like that. It's basically, you know, sex counseling, you know, these kinds of websites. And they list, and I think they do it really well, because this completely reflects, you know, what I hear when I talk to participants.
Yeah.
They have the following list. Men may engage in chemsex for many reasons. Some include... And here it starts, and for me to become fascinating, to feel more sexually free.
Wow! Yeah,
to overcome fear of rejection, shame, and stigma.
Yes,
wanting better sex that lasts longer.
Yes,
seeking intimacy.
Yes,
to connect with others.
Yes,
to feel part of a group or community.
Yes,
and when I read that, I was like,
"Is that a Tantra workshop?"
Yeah, exactly. you know? Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what we would write.
That's what I think, exactly. That's, you know, we have written similar things in our course descriptions. Why would you come to a Tantra weekend?
So why don't we just look at those one by one again? Mm-hmm. So what's the first one on this list?
So sexual freedom.
So basically what you're saying is this list of things that they identified are the reasons why, and I say typically in a men who loves men community, the reasons why men would engage in chemsex, because they're looking to feel certain things in their sex.
Yes.
And the first one you listed was...
sexual freedom, to feel sexually free.
You see, for me... I perceive at a spiritual level that the soul, the part in all of us, our souls, are looking to remember who we really are. And for me, that can manifest itself like as like a yearning, as like a searching, a seeking, a looking. And, you know, as we talked about in the previous podcast, a dissatisfaction with life as it is. So for me, if you're feeling dissatisfied with life, dissatisfied with your sex, it's not great, then I'm guessing that when you're looking for sexual freedom, then actually chemsex is going to be a really appealing avenue.
Well, for me, this has a lot to do with this, you know, fear of being myself. I remember before I came to Tantra... you know, I had all these fantasies. For me, they were, you know, mainly connected to having sex in group settings, experimenting with things that I hadn't tried out before, and all of that. But I knew that I was wanting to do these.
Yes.
But whenever I started to try this out, I felt uncomfortable. I felt that there was something in me that was judging myself.
What was it saying?
I may be rejected if I express these desires that may not be 100%, you know, 100% mainstream and things like that.
Because as I hear you say that, there's almost like a fear of vulnerability, a fear of letting go, a fear of being seen. And I'm wondering, like, in this topic of chemsex, whether chems are being used to bypass those feelings to launch you into a liberation. Like, but my biggest point here is that it's temporary. Like, every time chemsex, you know, people are using chemsex, it's short-lived, it's temporary, it's for a number of hours, and actually you're still left with the same stuff, the same insecurities that you had before using chemsex. It's just that the chems have taken that away for a period of time to allow you to experience yourself in a slightly different way.
Well, one thing, again, this is not from my experience, but what apparently, you know, what crystal meth does, it gives you a high degree of disinhibition.
Okay.
That means, you know, I guess it overrides this voice in you that said, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, God, what is this person going to say? Mm. And but it feels artificial somehow, right? Because it's not you're not really free.
But I also wonder whether one of the hardest things for us to admit as human beings is that we are erotic beings, we are sexual beings. You know, when you look at how many thousands of years of religion have tried to take us away from that innate freedom that we are erotic and sexual beasts. And, you know, there's a part of us that's still animal, you know, whilst, you know, we're refined and we're thinking our way, and we're actually, there's still a part of us that is utter animal.
Yes, but, you know, I think the solution is not to just, just override your disinhibition.
Yes.
The solution is actually to own that animal part in you and to be totally okay with that.
And embody it and juice it up. But I think there's two things here, because I think there's part of the journey in Tantra. I just want to go back a step where, for me, chemsex isn't going to solve those inhibitions that you have. They're just going to give you a temporary relief. But when you keep using that temporary relief over a decade, it is a route and a pathway of huge amounts of suffering, huge amounts of unhappiness, huge amounts of misery, till you feel like you're basically imprisoned on a hamster wheel, repeating this cycle, not able to get off. And I believe that Tantra, fully and squarely and unashamedly, is a practice that can get you off the hamster wheel of repetition and actually help you to embody shame-free, erotic, sexual, beast energy. We're going to talk about all the other beautiful things, but at a base chakra level, I perceive that we as a community have, I mean, you know, you could argue this is why porn is so popular. We have a real issue accepting our animal, erotic, horny energy. And I think or perceive that the journey of Tantra helps you to undo that shame, undo that guilt, undo that inhibition, and take you into altered states through breath work, through erotic play, through multi-orgasmic techniques. You know, you and I, Ingo, teach a whole bag of stuff that takes people into very altered states. you could argue that they are blissful states similar to chemsex, but actually you're getting there through your body in a very natural, unharmful and also sustainable way, an integrated way, integrated into your day-to-day life.
I wanted to take even a step back from that, because for me that first step of liberation came even, you know, it came even earlier.
Yes.
It was the very simple fact of stepping into a community where everyone was in the same boat.
Yes.
I thought I was the only one who wanted to play a little bit and let loose a little bit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I remember my first tantra retreats. All of a sudden, we were all in the same boat. We all wanted the same thing. So there was nothing shameful about it anymore. And for me to just to know that everyone was sharing this and even sharing, you know, the moments of shame and all of that.
Yes, and vulnerability.
Yeah, that made it possible to play with things. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, this feels completely natural. Why was this disinhibition there before?
Yes.
It was just this thing about feeling that we are all the same in this. I'm not alone in this.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, because it feels like what you're saying is that there is a collective want in this group for exploring freedom and liberation.
Yes, but I would again even take it back more to basics. Uh-huh. I would say there is a collective longing to live your sexual desires.
Yes.
Rather than feeling that I can only live a very limited sex life, you know?
Yes. And also, I think what I've really enjoyed in a Men Who Loves Men culture, particularly in the last decade, is the way that we're reframing how we express our sexual energy. We're reframing how we are. So, for example, you know, relationships with multi-dynamics to them is now much more commonplace. You know, often you'll find partners that may have a boyfriend, may have lovers, may have another a couple, that, you know, all kinds of different combinations, because I think that even in the last decade we've stepped through to more sexual freedom and liberation. But I perceive that whilst chemsex is still seen as a viable avenue, actually the practice of tantra and this body of work, I think, has a liberation and a freedom. And as you said, right at that base chakra level, I think there's something about the acceptance of us as animals, as beasts, as horny, erotic, you know, creatures that want to fuck, be fucked, and be utterly explore every dynamic. Well, again, for me, you know, that's surely incredibly spiritual, that idea.
Yeah, I wanted to say to it really starts with expressing these desires.
Yes.
And not just expressing them for yourself, but actually expressing them for real when you know, in a loving community, when you step in front of, let's say you're doing an exercise with someone. We do all these exercises where it's about naming your most animalistic desires.
Yeah.
And then you develop the sense that really, you know, again, you're not alone. You're sharing this with so many people. So it loses its, you know, that's one very, very simple way to undo the shame, at least for that situation. And then, as you said, we can start to experiment with these things until they feel actually quite normal. So we don't have to disinhibit ourselves anymore.
And that, for me, you know, when we say on the advertising that tantra is a pathway to freedom, that's what we mean. You know, one example of that freedom is expressing your sexual freedom. And also, I think what we've not said here is expressing sensations in your body, expressing verbally sounds, grunts, moans, whimpers, cries, every single noise that wants to come out, that you're fully meeting every sensation, every, you know, groan and shudder in what I would call totality. And again, I want to throw that back to you, Ingo, because that's, again, you know, part of the spiritual path. Osho talks about totality.
So in Tantra, there are a few principles, right?
Yes.
Well, or more precisely in Neo-Tantra.
Yes.
And they sound very, very simple, but they're actually really profound. And one of those principles, going back to Osho, I would express it like totality, not perfection.
Yes.
That means so many, you know, so many of us live with this idea of perfection. I have to be like this in sex, especially in sex. I have to be this harder, longer, louder, more energy, you know, these kinds of things. And that's a certain...
That's performance.
Image, yeah, an image of ourselves, how we need to perform. And that's obviously, you know, informed by porn, informed by what we think the partner wants to see.
Yes.
Often without actually asking them.
Yes.
So it becomes a performance. And all of these people come to us and say, I feel so much under pressure with sex.
Yes.
That has really, really come to me. Mm-hmm. And again, then some people say, when I take drugs, I feel that this pressure to perform is lifted off me, or it's maybe not lifted off me, but actually through the drug, I'm getting that, you know, infinite horniness for hours, that hardcore energy that I can go for hours, you know, without stopping and things like that. But that comes from an idea of performance. I have to be like that to basically, you know, to be accepted. And there is this pressure that I put on myself. Now, Osho, the one really, you know, this is a profound thing to meditate on, is totality. So totality means that whatever you are, be it totally. Do not hold yourself back. And that comes from a completely opposite mindset than performance, because here all of a sudden you just need to express what is already there.
Yes.
You don't come from this idea of, oh, I have to please that person.
Yes.
I'm actually
total.
Yeah, I'm total. And also in, you know, when in relationship or in partnered sex work, I have always found since I came to Tantra that the biggest gift that a person can give me is for them to be totally in what they feel already. Because then it becomes magical. Then they let go, and then they show something about, you know, who they really are in that moment. And that's the opposite of performance. And that's, I think, what Osho says.
And for me, when you compare that experience with what people are experiencing in chemsex, it's almost the same in some way. But is the experience in Tantra much truer, like, to yourself as you are in this reality, in this moment?
What do you think?
Well, for me, I guess the idea is that when you learn to be total in your sex, in your sex, there's a freedom in that, there's a liberation, and there's also like a realness to it that you haven't had to leave to experience a very profound part of you. And what I mean by leave is you haven't had to use chemsex to have an experience outside of your normal day-to-day reality. Actually, you're bringing that ecstasy and that bliss and that expanded orgasmic feeling through techniques, through changing your psychology, changing your position, changing your mindset, through healing yourself, through liberating yourself, through undoing, then I think you're experiencing something greater. And when you said earlier about that chemsex, this is my advert for Tantra, when you said earlier that, you know, chemsex lasts for hours, tantric sex, you know, I've known in between us and in other places, that lasts 7 or 8 hours of utter experiences that are divine and beyond and just utterly incredible that have lasted 7-8 hours.
This is actually really, really fascinating because people who engage in chem sex, those who I know who come to me and say I want to learn tantra,
yeah,
what they actually say is, so basically I feel disinhibited and euphoric and endless energy for a few hours, but the next and I then can really let go into that total horniness, and it feels absolutely amazing in the moment. But the next day, all of my feeling of not being worth, being lonely, having done something wrong, having done something that's not right, these will all hit me and they will all come back. And what occurs to me is that when you do something that looks disinhibited from the outside, but in Tantra, the effect, at least for me and for many other people that I have seen, is the total opposite.
Yes.
When I let go of my inhibitions and try something out safely, you know, in a tantric container, I afterwards, there is this overwhelming euphoria saying, wow, you can be this. And it feels good. And the next day I feel my self-worth goes up massively because I feel, wow, actually, you can be this. This is not just a desire or something to be never fulfilled. You have actually done it.
And also I think your relationship with life
And
the world around you and people then is transformed and different.
Yeah, but what I wanted to say in relationship to chemsex is that this strikes me as the opposite. Two people do the same thing. In Tantra, we work with our inhibitions and consciously try to work with them to be able to fulfill our sexual desires and to see where we can consciously overcome them. And the result is a feeling of liberation and increased self-worth.
Yes.
Whereas in chemsex, when these people who talk to me, I take drugs, I feel completely disinhibited. And afterwards I feel the opposite, because my underlying issues of, you know, lack of, you know, whatever I feel is lacking, these inhibitions, they are still there. They don't get transformed by experience, but they're actually still there. So my hunches, they have just been overridden temporarily or something like that.
And again, it comes back to what I was saying at the beginning.
Yeah.
That chemsex is temporary, and the practice of Tantra, you know, we've had people leave a retreat and go that are still affected 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, not just at an energetic level of how they see the world, but also very much in a, like, the psychology of how they're dealing with life, relationships, people. And it's almost like, I feel like Tantra helps people reset or reconsider relationships, certain positions in life, certain career. And knowing, like, it's like you come back to this sense of knowing that you have this, it's almost like that you know that you are bliss, that you know that you are love, and you know that you're operating in the world. You're kind of trying to steer your ship through kind of surrendering to this bliss. Yeah, not sure where I'm going with that, but that's what happens to people.
For the context, you know, for what we have said, I feel this bliss comes from in this kind of bliss. There are many types of bliss in Tantra, but this kind of very specific bliss comes from experiencing yourself as being able to be much, much, much more than you thought you are. And that has to do with this thing of freedom of working with your inhibitions in a very conscious way, you know.
Should we look at number two on your list?
We talked about one and two, sexual freedom and to overcome fear of rejection, shame and stigma.
Well, can I just talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Shame. Did you say shame, stigma?
Yes.
And you said shame and stigma and...
Rejection.
Rejection.
Fear of, yeah.
Yeah. So... Again, that could open up huge topics, but what I would say here is I think as a Men Who Loves Men community, I think we know we have a relationship with rejection on so many different levels. I think the world is better, but I think some of you listening to this may have experienced rejection from family or from friends about, you know, your sexuality, your choices that you make in life, the way that you choose to live your life. Some of you may be listening with very traditional family values, very traditional settings. And hey, you arrive into the setting of this and, you know, you're wanting to live your life. You're feeling called to live your life in a different rule set, different mindset, different values. And I think that it's really hard to undo rejection. You know, any of you have experienced any form of trauma in your life. Like for me, I was incessantly bullied at school because I was different. I just was different all of my secondary school. And I think that rejection stays with you throughout your life, both on a conscious and unconscious level. And I feel that the work to do, like it's really easy to just be with, well, at some point that rejection becomes normalized and it becomes a normal way of operating, that you're feeling that rejection and you go out into the world with that rejection kind of like a filter, kind of like, you know, like a lens over life. And then chemsex helps you to just take away that rejection for a moment. But again, I come back to the point that we've been repeating, it's only temporary. And actually, how do you do sometimes the painful work, sometimes painful, but incredibly freeing, I promise you. It's incredibly freeing to undo and work through and heal the rejection that you've experienced in your life. And I think there's also something, and again, I'm specifically talking to a Men Who Loves Men community, to know that, you know, nature, whatever you believe made you, whether you believe in God, Jesus, nature, aliens, I think aliens dropped us off, to be quite honest. But it's like, I think as men who love men, we have this underlying unconsciousness that somehow nature made a mistake, that somehow I'm wrong and that there's something wrong with me. And I think, again, that's at an unconscious level. And sometimes we can attract people that reject us to that, to validate that unconscious idea that we are not okay. And I think Tantra is the antidote, the anti-serum to that, because what it teaches you is to bring you back to your true nature, your true self, and unfucking ashamedly be you. Unashamedly be every fucking aspect of you for your total fucking freedom and liberation, so you can stretch out to the world, you can stretch out your wings and just feel completely free without anything holding you back. And I'm just feeling that idea of my soul lifting out, my wings stretching out wide to feel that total liberation and freedom. And I would argue that Tantra is a pathway to give you that on a permanent level, whereas chemsex will only give you temporary relieving of the symptoms, if you see what I mean.
Beautiful. I feel goosebumps all over.
Do
my
you?
Body when you talk about that, because yeah, once you taste this freedom,
yes,
there's no way back.
Yeah.
There's no way back. Yeah,
and it's just then a sense of knowing inside of you, and it then supersedes like for me, you know, how do you get off chemsex? Well, I think starting to do the work on yourself, and then you'll get to a point where you make decisions around, you know, doing that session, that doesn't really serve me. And it just naturally falls away. I think there's a natural falling away when your consciousness or your awareness grows. And Tantra, you know, as the way you described your experiences, Ingo, beautifully, they give you those experiences and they fulfill you in a way that other things that you were doing that aren't sustainable to you naturally fall away.
Yes, I with that, I can only, you know, I can only use the, you know, me not being experienced in these kinds of drugs. I can just use an analogy in the way it happened to me. Which is alcohol. Not that I used to drink very much, but I used to, you know, you really like alcohol, like the glass of wine, you know, beer, things like that on a regular kind of regular basis.
Yeah.
And I used to like the effect that it brought me.
Mm-hmm.
With Tantra, I realized something opened up. There is something more expansive. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that once I had tasted that, it's not, you know, it's not that it eclipses alcohol or something, but it's like alcohol starts to feel as if it was shutting that down. It's just the opposite of that. And bit by bit, it took years. That's somehow... It lowered my desire for alcohol and for the effects really quite a lot over all of these years, up to a point where now I feel as if with alcohol, I feel as if something was being shut down within myself. Whereas whenever I do Tantra, I feel something opens, and I want that to stay open.
Beautiful. That's,
and I guess I can only, you know, I guess that might be similar, maybe.
Beautiful. What else is on your list, Ingo? We're going to get through this list if it kills us.
Ah, yes. Wanting better sex that lasts longer. The question of, this is to do with when, you know, especially people tell me this about meth, it's the question of energy, to have endless energy, to be able to go for forever and not to feel tired, to feel energized and to last longer.
So I think we should talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think we're going to do a podcast in the future all about multi-orgasmic states.
Yeah.
But what I want to point to here is, for me, Tantra practice is on various different levels, or there's various different lanes. One of those lanes is, I would say, catharsis, chaos, bringing up your energy, letting all the energy off. And we do that through active meditations and through group practices, techniques, and through, I think, multi-orgasmic techniques. So typically, I've been saying this for years, typically men ejaculate within, is it 12 minutes of sexual activity? And chemsex is going to help you go on for hours longer. But so does Tantra.
Yes.
And for me, one of the initial lessons in Tantra is to learn how to make the choice to not ejaculate. Now, you know, there's some in Tantra circles that think ejaculation is the seed of the devil. My opinion is, how can something that feels so good be so wrong? And we're going to talk about a whole spiritual aspects of orgasm in a future podcast. But what I want to point to is this learning to enter what I call a multi-orgasmic state, so that you feel in a permanent multi-orgasmic state. I don't know if you can say something about that too, Ingo.
I think this would almost require another podcast.
Yes.
But what I will say is that, you know, one of the main core-like practices of Tantra is to basically unleash the energy that we carry in our sexual organs, and that is usually confined to our sexual organs, i.e. we experience sex in our penis or something like that. You know, we don't experience every bit of arousal that we have in our cock. We don't usually experience that in all of our body and you know, in our toenails and in our fingers and everywhere. So
one of the things I love is when people discover that their whole body is their cock and that it can become as responsive as their cock.
Exactly. But what this the deeper the deeper learning in this is that we have basically suppressed our sexual energy for it to be only genital, basically. And there are these techniques where we can liberate our sexual energy to, you know, tantric expression, to freely flow through our body. And there's a lot to say about that. You talked about the orgasmic corridor and things like that. But the idea is that we have this energy already. We just suppress it to only genital. Once we liberate it, we can basically build on that. And that's one of those reasons why we can go for hours, basically, or days in tantra.
And I think it's where you let go. I think there's also like a reframing of what sex is for you, in that it's not no longer an ejaculatory experience.
Yes,
it's actually learning to ride orgasm. If you imagine like a bucking bronco bull that's let out, riding that out and letting it go all over the ring, it's like learning to ride a bucking bronco, or like a tantric roller coaster of orgasm that takes you up, down, sideways, loops, triple toe loops. Once you reframe your sex and your sexual energy, and also reframe what you're sharing with another person, these are doorways and portals into total transformation of your sex.
Yes, that as well. But before, you know, with our topic, before you use that then for transformation, you actually learn how to have this infinite energy, how to go for hours. And this, again, is something, you know, people tell me about what they're looking for specifically with these drugs. And I'm, wait a moment, there is a much more natural way. You've already got that energy. It's just these, isn't it funny, you know, these ancient techniques of tantra that can, that we have almost forgotten. And then we needed to invent something like chemsex to simulate that. Well, that's just, you know, it sounds a little, Do you see what I mean?
What else have we got on this list? Because we're in our last minutes here of being here on this podcast.
I think this we're going to bring up in other podcasts as well. It's this whole complex of seeking intimacy, connection with others, feeling part of a community that shares something very very deep, very primal, feeling that camaraderie in the group, and all of that, all things that I've experienced with tantra, you know.
So let's bring us back into then our summary comments. And I think one of the things we haven't touched upon that tantra offers, I think there's also something in chemsex that takes you beyond you, beyond the you that operates on a day-to-day level, and gives you feelings of euphoria and expansion and removes inhibition. The one thing I notice chemsex doesn't talk about is, I would call it, this state of bliss. And for me, what it also, you know, what else I don't hear is chemsex being used as a way to personally grow, to spiritually evolve. I don't hear chemsex talking about awakening and consciousness and enlightenment. And for me, I think tantra ticks all of those boxes that you're talking about, plus 20 other boxes, in that Tantra as a spiritual practice will, one, remind you of the truth of who you really are, which is bliss, is love. It's like the state of love is around us all of the time. We are love, and it's just our minds that get in the way of that. And it's interesting, as a society, we've then used chemsex to remind us of who we are, when actually there's other techniques that are going to be more, how can I put this, that are going to be more sustainable to you, more joyful, more in your day to day. So for me, Tantra is sort of like the pathway to the permanent changes that people are seeking in chemsex.
Yes, and the only thing that I would add is it's not just about permanent versus temporary. It's yeah. also about, you know, as we said before, undoing the things that really hold you back instead yes. of just masking them.
Yes.
And it's about transformation. I would say transformation rather than
temporary.
Just overriding something.
Yeah, temporary fixes.
Yes.
This is, yeah, transformation's a good... So when we, you know, we talk about Tantra being a journey of personal development, personal transformation, spiritual growth. And one of the things I like about the Tantra that we teach, Ingo, is that there is no doctrine to it. It's like, we are here to help you find your truth of who you are. And we may put some ideas out there, but at the end of the day, a spiritual practice has to come from you, has to come from within you. And I think Tantra helps you to unlock that, to find that, and to question yourself and work on yourself and explore yourself and question yourself. So almost like you take your ego along with you in the spiritual journey, you know, as your being is having these experiences of remembering who you are, it's almost like carrying your poor ego to kind of get on board with the process as well.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. Okay. Any last comments from you, Ingo?
No.
Okay. Well, that's today's topic of chemsex. We hope that's been useful to you, dear listeners, as we would say, Ingo. And I just want to reframe that there's no judgments from Ingo and I about, you know, choices people make. The spirit of this podcast is to talk about alternatives and to help also address some of the issues that men are experiencing in chemsex, or where they're finding it unfulfilling. And, you know, what we're talking about today is the way that that can, you know, the different answers, different ideas on the table.
Beautiful.
We need to talk about two other things just before we finish. One is our gift to you in this podcast. So if you want to join in the discussion for this podcast, you can do that, community.tantraforgaymen.com. And in there, in that platform, on the left-hand side is a whole library of different tantric practices and lectures. The one that I would point you to, there's a seven episode kind of multi-orgasmic practice tutorial that I created during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that would be my gift for you today. If you're like, oh, how could I practice some Tantra this afternoon? Join the community, have a look on the left-hand menu. I think it's under exercises. And in there, you'll find my seven-stage multi-orgasmic tutorial. And try it out. Give it a go. See how that helps, you know, take you into some of the things that we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
Lastly, let's talk about the 11th and 12th of May in London 2024. We are doing a beautiful weekend together, aren't we, baby?
Yes, and that weekend is already, I think it's already half booked.
Yes.
I think we're going to be a group of, we're planning to be a group of probably, including you and me and assistants, maybe 25 people or
yes,
something.
Yes.
And it's about half booked. So yes. I'm excited. Many new people coming.
Uh-huh. And this yeah. is all about ecstatic surrender. So one thing we've never talked about yet in these podcasts is the ecstatic body, how to kind of awaken a natural state of ecstasy in your body. And also to introduce this concept of surrender, that you can only experience bliss when you're in a state of surrender. And yes, we are going to beautifully and magically guide you through different practices to take you like into an ecstatic surrender, so you can kind of start to get a little bit of a taste of what we're talking about.
Yeah, totally. By the way, half booked. I mean, we are now mid-February as we are recording this.
Yes.
This is going to go out a lot.
Later. It's actually going to go out probably leading up to the time of doing this workshop.
Probably be like almost booked by that point. Yeah. But... yes, I always say these weekends, they are ideal, especially if you're new, because they're going to gently introduce you to these things with lots of people who are in the same boat. It's always beautiful to see, you know, if new people come, oh, God, am I... You know, am I weird trying this out? Is this is so far out, you know, far from what I usually do. And then all of a sudden you're in a community that all wants the same, and let's just try these things out. And that gives, you know, you will leave as with a huge group of new friends.
You will. Ingo, thank you so much for today. It's been a joy to share this with you, my sweet love.
Thank you, my darling.
And we'll see you next in episode 6. All right, take care. Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi there. So we're at the end of the podcast. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you want to take part in the free tutorial, multi-orgasmic edging practices, you can find that in our app. Also, if you'd like to join in the conversation on this podcast and you want to share something, you can also do that in the app, community.tantraforgaymen.com. If you're looking for information about any of our retreats or, again, another way to listen to this podcast, you can do this at our website. In our next episode, Ingo and I are going to be dedicating the whole podcast to questions that you have asked in the community app.